There's about 2 million people in our city alone. And there are many more millions in many other cities all over Taiwan. Taiwan is the second most densely populated country in the world. And yet, there are still so many people that have never heard the gospel, not even once. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the challenge that we face in Taiwan is people don't even recognize what this book is. So you can't just, like you do here or in the Philippines where I came from, you can't just, you know, stop people on the road and say, can I share with you? Can you give me 2 minutes and share with you the gospel, you know, from this book? Because they don't know what this book is. They have no idea. And so oftentimes you won't have that opportunity to share the gospel. And that is the main challenges that we all face there in Taiwan as missionaries. But, you know, God is a sovereign God. God is a powerful God. And just like you saw in that video, God has the power to make a way, to break people's hearts and to make them to understand the word of God. In the beginning, we had a challenge that you know, trying just to get people's attention, you know, just to get their time to, so that you can share the word of God. But people would just say, "Oh, I don't have time. I'm not interested in that book. We don't know what that book is." You know, we have our gods, and our gods have been pretty good to us. You know, we are rich people. We are, you know, we have everything that we could ever have in life. And so we don't need your message. You know, it reminds me what Jesus says, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. It's because, you know, I was telling people what's the difference between the Buddhist or the Taoist in Cambodia and the Buddhist in Taiwan. And why is it that seems like in Cambodia, the Buddhists seem to be very open to the gospel? Well, in Cambodia and places like that, all you have to do is, you know, bring a bag of goodies and they'll come to you and they'll listen for hours, you know, whatever you want them to do, as long as at the end, they'll get some goodies. But in listening to the word of God, that's what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. So maybe at the beginning they just go, you know, for the goodies, but then they hear the word of God. And then God convicts them, and praise the Lord, they get saved. But we have to bring the message first before we can expect them to believe. Right? That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. But in Taiwan, people are affluent. They have everything. I can't say, okay, I got 3 goodies today. If you just give me 5 minutes, they wouldn't care. In fact, they think that their gods are the ones that have enriched them. And they would be taking a great risk, you know, to try to accept any other religion. So how did we try to overcome those challenges that we had in the beginning? Well, you know, we tried to study the language, and we came to across something that we read, that many Chinese characters can only be explained through this book. All right, many Chinese characters. For example, I have in our display, I have a tiny little thing. It's a replica of an olive pit that they carve and made a boat out of it. And guess what? How many people are in that little thing they've carved? There are 8 people in that tiny little boat. In Chinese, they associate boat or ship with 8 people. So I would ask them and say, why is it like that? In fact, the word boat in Chinese, if you look at the characters, it has the word for a ship on the left hand. On the right hand, on the top, it has the word for number 8. And at the bottom, on the right hand, it has the word for mouth. So what he's saying is there are 8 mouths or 8 people in that boat. And that's the word for boat in Chinese. So I would ask him, why do you have 8 for your word boat? Of course, they say, I don't know. We've had that character for, you know, so long, thousands of years. I have no idea. We just know what it is. I says, can I show you from the Bible why you have 8 people?
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells us in Genesis, the first boat that was ever built had only 8 passengers. No one, his family. I'd like to share one more character. You see, in my display, there's a guy there. That's one of their gods that they worship. You notice it has a red face. It's painted red. See, Chinese, red is the color. Right now, if you go to Taiwan, it's a Chinese New Year. So you see red everywhere. And you might be receiving a red envelope. Usually it has some money or something like that. Red in Chinese, it associates with the word righteousness. So that guy there that they worship, they think he's a righteous man. He's a just man. He's a good man. That's why they painted his face red. But what they don't know is the red, what makes a person righteous is because of that red represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the word righteousness in Chinese. So I would come to them and say, sir, would you write for me the word righteousness in your language? So they would, you know, happily write that down on a piece of paper. And I would say, could you explain that to me? What are these? I mean, on top of this, what is this? It looks like it has a horn, you know, two signs like that. And they would say, oh, well, that top part of that word is the word for a sheep or a lamb. And then at the bottom of that character is the word for me. So the character for righteousness is lamb over me.
Hallelujah.
And I would ask them, sir, why would you have a lamb in that word righteousness? What is the relationship? They would say, I don't know, we don't know. It's been written, given to us, you know, for thousands of years. I said, can I explain it to you? Why you have a lamb in that word? The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
And that word lamb in Chinese is not just an ordinary lamb. If you remove the horns, you have the word for king. So that lamb is not an ordinary lamb. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And by this time, they would say, wow, what is that book? Could you tell us more from that book? I said, yes, I would love to do so. I praise the Lord that Brother Steve here, we were able to discuss about the possibility of translating a Chinese Bible, you know, from King James into their language. I'm looking forward to that. I believe that's going to be a very effective tool. It's something that the people in Taiwan badly needs. Tonight, just for a few minutes, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to number 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to number 20. I'd like to speak this evening on the message entitled The Making of a Fisher of men. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That was their profession. And he says unto them, Follow me. Follow me. And Jesus said, this is what's going to happen when you follow me. You're going to be a fisher of men. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Look at verse number 20. And this is how they responded to the call. And this is what I pray we would respond to this call tonight. The Bible says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. The day Peter was called to become a special disciple, we see in this verse, Jesus Christ came to him. Christ came to him. Peter was not looking for Christ. Christ was the one looking for him. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee, looking for him. Just like when Christ went to Samaria, looking for that woman at the well. Aren't we glad to know tonight that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save us who are lost? Jesus came to Peter where he was, doing what he was doing on a daily basis, casting a net into the sea. They were just a bunch of common people doing what they knew best in life, trying to make a living, trying to survive from day to day. I don't know here in the States, but where I came from, we come from a fishing village, you know, and we're facing the Pacific. Here you face the Atlantic. Amen. But it's all waters. I can assure you of that. It's all the same. But, you know, so I have some knowledge about fishing because, you know, I have many friends who are fishermen. I know of, we have many members in our church who are in that business. They're fishermen. But in all of my life growing up in our city, I've never seen a fisherman in our place who have gotten rich by that trade. And I believe Peter and Andrew, his brother, they were just like that, trying to make meets end, make a living. And you know what? There's so many people out there in the world today. They go through life with this great burden to make it in life. They've been casting their small nets into the vast ocean, hoping they could catch something big, you know. It seems like life to them is a gamble and a risk, hoping they could, you know, just get something. But life doesn't have to be a gamble or a risk. God, the Bible says, came. He came to give us a wonderful life, an abundant life. That's what Jesus did to Peter. He came with a call for them to be a different people. God redirecting their focus in their life. Instead of just fishing for fish, the Lord says, I want to make you fishers of men. I want to give you a better purpose for your life. Something that has eternal value. Something that's worth living. The Lord reminds us, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but loses his own soul? Last night we had a service in our church there, and the man who gave the message was one of the men, the Taiwanese man in our church, and it was live stream, so I was listening. And he was talking about the pursuit of men like him. He was actually speaking from his heart about his struggles in life. Being a Taiwanese man, a married man, a family man, he said, you know, this is one of my weaknesses. I'm always under anxiety and I always worry about it. But then toward the end, he shared the word of God. He preached the word of God. He shared with our people that as the Lord promised, he said, you know, if you put God first in your life, all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
It was a great message. And coming from him, it was a blessing to me. And then he mentioned me, you know, of course he didn't know I was tuning into that stream. And he said, I thank our pastor. He's in the U.S. He doesn't have, you know, a high education. Because in Taiwan, education is almost like a god. They seek for, you know, those degrees. He said, our pastor doesn't even have any. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't even have a diploma. You know, when I graduated from high school from our church, our Christian school could not be, did not have a permit from the government.
Wow.
So I don't even have a diploma that's worth anything, you know. Right after that, I went to Bible college. And of course, it's not recognized by the government. So he was right. I don't have any of that thing. But what he said kind of blessed my heart. He said, but you know, our pastor and his wife and his family are so happy.
Yeah.
They're so happy. My wife and I, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary last month before we came here. And the church had a special, celebration for that. And then toward the end, they were giving testimonies. And one lady after another, they started giving testimonies. And they were just thanking, you know, God for us and how we, you know, the Lord called us there. And we gave our lives to the Lord and ministering to them. But, you know, they were, and one lady started to cry. And she had said, you know, I praise God because God used our pastor to lead my husband, who was a Taiwanese, to the Lord. She said, if my husband did not get saved, our marriage would have been done a long time ago. And she was telling the young people in the church, don't you marry an unbeliever. Don't you take that gamble. Then one after another, they all started crying. And one of the fellow in us said, this is happy anniversary. Why is everybody crying? But it, my wife and I, our hearts were blessed. To know. I mean, we don't care about applause. We don't care about praises from men. That was a blessing to hear how our life has an impact on their lives. It's worth living that kind of life that serves the Lord and others. When God calls a man, it's an opportunity of a lifetime, a launching pad to a life of adventure. And if we accept that calling, that challenge that God is giving us, we'll experience moments greater than we could ever imagine. I feel like my wife and I, since the day we tied the knot and decided to, you know, get married, our life has been on that adventure. Coming here to the States, we don't really know much. We don't know a lot of people. And we try to visit as many churches as we can. And you know, if you don't know anybody, that's almost very difficult to get to any church. Coming here, standing here before you, it's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle. I didn't know Pastor Hunter. Last year they came to Taiwan. We met. Who would ever imagine that it would lead us being here tonight?
Amen.
But the chance to follow the Savior's call, which is specially designed for each of us, it's a wonderful life. why the calling of God is important to us. Well, first of all, we need to remember God created us for His pleasure. In Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things," and that includes us. "He's created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And nothing pleases God more than anything than the salvation of men. This morning when that lady came forward and trusted Christ as her Lord and personal Savior, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over that decision. Amen. Nothing pleases God more than people getting saved. Nothing brings heaven and all His angels to rejoicing than a man, a sinner, repents. God is calling us, first of all, to salvation. We can forget about this calling to service. The most important thing is this call that God is calling to all of us tonight. And this morning we heard that message of the gospel, the call of God to salvation. You see, the world, religions have it all the other way around. The world, religions tell us, you know, well, if you want to be saved, you need to serve God. You got to do this and do that. Then you might be saved. But the Bible tells us the other way around. All we have to do is come to Christ and believe what He did on the cross of Calvary, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that on the third day He rose again from the dead. Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall be saved." That's the promise to God. Only after you're saved, only after you have received eternal life, can any of your good works mean anything to God and to yourself. This calling that God, you know, He called Peter and Andrew, this was a call to service. Because by the time God, Jesus came to them, they were already believers. In fact, they were already baptized by John the Baptist. They were believers, but they were focused on the worldly things. They were focused on, you know, making a name for themselves. Their minds were focused on the things of this world. And Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me. And I'll give you something worth living for." See, God is calling those who are saved, those who are scripturally baptized, to follow Him, to serve Him. If you're saved and you haven't been baptized, it's clear in the scriptures. Even Christ, before He started His public ministry, He submitted Himself to water of baptism. That's a step of His obedience and as a sign of His faith. The disciples, when they were baptized, it was a sign of their faith. But salvation doesn't save anybody. I mean, baptism doesn't save anybody. You got to be saved and then you got to be baptized. You can be baptized too many times, it doesn't make any difference. But I'm excited to go back home tomorrow. We start our, you know, journey back to Taiwan. Because we have people that are waiting to be baptized. Amen. It seems like it takes forever for them to be saved. They keep coming, they keep listening to the Word of God. Brother Robert, you met in Taiwan. Probably it's 10 years before he trusted Christ. God is calling the simple, like this man, they were just simply fishermen, ordinary men. You don't have to be somebody who holds a degree to become useful in God's service.
Amen.
just as you are. In salvation and in service, it's all the same. God is calling the humble. God is calling those who are even burdened to serve Him. Look at the person that God, that the person who is doing the calling. Of course, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere we turn, there are calls upon our life. Some people are drawn away by the loud and insistent calls of fame and fortune. Others are tempted by the pull of popularity and comfort or even knowledge. And Paul tells us that reality that's taking place in our life. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And every day we're hearing all these kind of voices in our ears. And most of those voices are coming from the devil because he doesn't want us to serve the Lord. But tonight, God's call is very clear. It's coming from His Word. And He says, follow me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. What is the purpose of that calling? To the Lord Jesus, the purpose of His own life on earth was always clear. Bible tells us in Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek the sick and to save that which was lost. That was Christ's purpose. Jesus came to be a fisher of men. And He was calling Peter and Andrew and those men to do the same thing. I grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian church. Thanks for the American missionaries who came to our country, brought the gospel. Thank you, American people, for sending missionaries. When I was 15 years old, I attended a camp. And in that camp, God called me to be a preacher. I was so happy. Other than being saved, that was the happiest moment of my life. Because for the first time in my life, I realized what God wants me to become. I did not want to waste my life doing something, seeking for something that really did not matter. When God called me to be a preacher, I did not. I said, Lord, yes, I will go. I'll do whatever You want me to do. Well, God made me willing because just a year ago He saved me. Amen. And I grew up in the church all of my life. From nursery, you know, beginners, primary, juniors. I mean, I've been through all those Sunday school classes. But I did not get saved till I was a young person. So when God saved me, and the year after He called me, how could I say no to that? See, just God knew the best timing for all this to take place. And I was so excited to go back home and tell my parents. I was thinking in my mind, oh, my parents would be very happy to know that I'm going to be a preacher. When I got home, I told my mother. My mother is Chinese. But you know, she was not happy. She was not happy at all. And in fact, she told me, you cannot go to Bible college, not this time. I said, why? Why not this time? Well, she didn't tell me. She didn't tell me until we were ready to leave for Taiwan. But she just said, I want you to go to Manila and study medicine. I want you to be a doctor. And then after you become a doctor, I don't care what you want, what to do with your life. But you see, that is the mindset of the Chinese culture. Parents dictate, demand what they want from the children. I said, I want to serve God. Not after, but now. My mother said, okay, if that's what you want, leave the house and don't you ever come back. Because I was so shocked to hear that. But again, I just remembered the Lord saved me a year ago. And I was determined. I said, okay. I don't know what I'll do. How I'm going to make it in life. But I left the house with a broken heart, with a heavy heart. I went to see my pastor. I said, Pastor, I'm homeless. I don't know where I would sleep tonight. I don't know where I get my next meal. All I know is that God wants me to serve Him. I want to go to Bible college. I'm willing to work anything. Pastor said, all right, you can go and stay in the dorm. I'll give you a job. Thank the Lord for the job. I made $1 a week. But I survived, amen? Because I didn't care about the money. All I cared was about serving the Lord, pleasing God. But I was not welcome at home. But that is, you see, in this story, and I need to close. At the end of these verses, there we see here that when God called Peter and Andrew to follow Him, the Bible says that they left their boats and their nets to follow the Lord. After every call of God, there is a price that we have to make. There is a leaving. There is a leaving. So God gave me the grace to do that. I left our home. I left my family to follow the Lord's will in my life. I missed being in our home. One time I decided I'm just going to see everybody. I'll just make sure my mother is not there. So I went back there, but my mother was there. She caught me red-handed being in the house. And she shouted at me and said, what are you doing here? Are you going hungry? Got no more food in the dorm? Are you getting my food here? I said, no, I'm not here for the food. I'm just here to see everyone. I miss everyone. My mother said, get out. Until you want to do what I want you to do, don't you come back here. I left. It went on for many years, actually. But you know, I had all the peace and joy in my heart. I was heartbroken, but the joy was there. The peace was there. The verse in Psalm where it says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That gave me so much comfort. Because when I read that verse, well, that's me. Amen. This is biblical. This is scriptural. But that's the price of following the Lord. And then just before we left the Philippines to go to Taiwan, I had to see my mother and I had to ask her, Mom, why you did not want me to be a preacher? She said, son, I love you. The reason I didn't want you to go to become a preacher because I was afraid that you will go hungry. I was afraid that you'll be very poor. Friends, do I look like I'm going hungry? I mean, I've been feasting every meal. So Sometimes I feel embarrassed that I cannot finish my, my food. The Bible says, David said, I have been young and I'm old and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If we only trust the Lord and trust his word, God would never lie to us.
Amen.
And I've been honored and privileged to be given the calling and the grace to make that as my life's pursuit. I am so blessed. I'm so happy serving the Lord. Even when it meant I have to be on my own. As long as the Lord is with me, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Thank you, church, for having me and my wife and being a blessing to us. God bless you, Pastor.